Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1054. Just to set the context a little bit of this, this is towards the end of Matthew's gospel. Some of the last instructions, according to Matthew, that Jesus gives to his disciples. And he's talking about his return, that one day he will return. We're told there will be a period of tribulation, but following that, we will actually see Jesus. So let's hear what he reveals to us about that day and the coming of the new kingdom. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of God, of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So it will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, some weeks it's a struggle, a holy struggle, but a struggle nonetheless, to put together a sermon, what I believe God is giving us for me to share with you each and every Sunday. But this week is an easy sermon. This was an easy one because there are times that a preacher needs to simply step back and allow the scriptures to speak for themselves. And they do so very powerfully. So today is pretty much a chance for the scriptures to speak for themselves. Also today, I'm not going to give any great new revelation. Nothing that's going to make you say, oh my goodness, I never thought of that before. Everything I'm about to tell you today, you're going to say, oh yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I've heard that before. So today is a reminder sermon. A reminder teaching, and I think you'll see that as we go through this. Now, periodically, we need to remind ourselves that everything that is happening around us is part of a greater story. It is his story, his story. And so I just want to put that in context here I've shared this before, that there is this greater story, this greater picture that describes all that is going on around us and where we fit into this grand scheme of things. Well, it begins with creation. In the beginning, God created everything that is seen and unseen. And behold, it was very good. God created angels and human beings, and he gave them free will. Free will gives us the ability to choose obedience, which leads to love, or to choose rebellion, which is sin, and which leads to evil. All evil is the result of sin, the result of exercising a free will to rebel against God. Well, eventually, as we know, the angels and Adam and Eve chose rebellion, which resulted in what is called the fall. They rebelled against God in disobedience. And so the humans were thrown out of the Garden of Eden and were separated from God. They used to walk with him in the cool of the day, but no longer. Not only that, but the path to the tree of life was now barred by a flaming sword of an angel. Not only that, but this brought a curse on the angels, on the humans, and on all of creation. But God in his mercy brought about the third stage, which is redemption. God took upon himself human flesh in the person of Jesus of Nazareth and died for the sins of all human beings. Now we live in this time following the redemption, which is the time of sanctification. It is a time when all people are given the opportunity to be reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus and to live forever. Those who do not choose life will die. And as we heard in our reading, this is the second death. Now, one day, Jesus will return and usher in the final stage or period, which is known as glorification. He will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth and establish a new heaven and a new earth. Now, those who are not reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, along with Satan and all his angels, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But the righteous will live with God forever and ever in the new heaven and the new earth. And so in this grand scheme of things, we see creation, the fall, redemption, sanctification, and glorification. Now, I think it's no surprise to know that we are living now in this period of sanctification. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, although we're told that only a few will be saved, a remnant will choose to receive that forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. But it is God's hope that none would perish. And so this period of sanctification is being extended and extended. We wish it would be done and say, you know, Jesus, come now. But God in his wisdom is extending it in the hope that day by day more and more people come to the saving faith of knowledge in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins and receive the gift of eternal life. So that's why all evil is not yet banished, because God is allowing this to continue in the hope and expectation that there are those others who will come. And the reason he keeps us here is because he wants to use us to help bring about that conversion or decision-making, repentance that leads to eternal life in Jesus Christ. So this is the grand scheme of things. And we see ourselves as a part of this grand scheme as we see now in this period of sanctification. But again, only a remnant are going to be able to choose Jesus Christ. And so we're living in basically an ungodly world, which continues to be fraught all around with those who choose to rebel against God and the resulting evil that comes from that. So we should not be surprised by what's going on in the world. But we look forward to that day when it will be done away with and Jesus will return and establish peace on the earth, the New Jerusalem, and the new earth. Now, this is the day we look forward to, and the Bible reveals a lot to us about the coming of Jesus and the establishing of this glorification period. We're told there will be a period of tribulation that precedes the coming of Jesus. It will be a time of lawlessness. It will be a time when the love of many will grow cold. It will be a time when many are led astray, as we're told in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12. It will be a time when the nations are deceived, as we're told in Revelation 20, verse 8. It will be a time when many will have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power, as we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It will be a time like we are seeing right now. I don't know if this is the Great Tribulation, but it's going to look something like what we see now. The lawlessness, the love of many growing cold, many being led astray by the temptations of the world. But we're told in Matthew 24, verse 22, for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. For the sake of the elect, those days will one day come to an end, this time of tribulation. Then Jesus will return. We're told that when Jesus returns, there will be a judgment time, which is why people don't want to believe in the return of Jesus, because they know that with that comes a judgment. People will be judged for what they have done or not done, as we're told, we heard in our reading, Revelation 20. Those who know or experience Jesus will have borne good fruit, whereas those who do not know Jesus will bear bad fruit, as we're told in Matthew 7, verses 17 to 23. Now the bad, we're told, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, those who are in right relationship with God in Jesus Christ, they will go into eternal life, which is the time of glorification. And so we're told there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth, and the curse will be gone, the curse upon us and the curse upon creation. As we heard in our reading this morning, behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, just like, remember, the Garden of Eden. They used to walk with God in the cool of the day. Once again, we will walk with God in the cool of the day. God will be with them. He will be his they will be his people. God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is the day we long for. No more evil, no more disease and sickness, no more trial and tribulation. We're told, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that powerful? Let me read that again. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him and who know him. So for this reason, we set our mind on things above and not on things on earth. Let me read this passage from Paul's letter to the Colossians that just, I think, encapsulates this whole idea of what we're talking about today. This is Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow, what a beautiful promise, a promise that we can rely upon and put our trust in. And so our hope is in that which is above, not which is here on earth. I think, as C.S. Lewis once wrote famously, if we aim for heaven, we get heaven and earth. If we aim for earth, we get neither. So we do not lose heart, and we do not let the ungodly steal our joy and our peace that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We long for his coming, and we set our eyes upon it. It will be glorious. It will be wonderful. And we long for it. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. Let me put that up just to reinforce. The kingdom of God is upon us. The best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you for the things you reveal to us in your word about the coming of Jesus. When his coming will bring in a new heaven and a new earth, the old order of things will pass away. No more evil, no more sickness, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, but joy eternal in Jesus Christ. Father, we long for that day. Until that day comes, Lord, give us the grace to persevere. Keep our faith strong as we put our trust in you and in your promises. That all we do, Lord, would bring to the glory of your kingdom and a new heaven and a new earth. We pray all this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.